Hey everyone, this is Austin. Thanks for listening to the Flight Test Podcast. This is episode 23. Today we talked about the, now infamous laser cutter fire incident that Chad touched on briefly in episode 22. We also talked about some of the adventures at CEF and some of the things that the guys really had. Sounds like they had a lot of fun. So they talk about some stories and mention some really cool people we got to meet and the experiences we got to have with them. Also, talked about some pretty interesting flight test releases that are coming up, and we kind of got back to our roots with a Q&A, answering a bunch of Facebook questions. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. It is brought to you by HostGator today. HostGator makes it incredibly easy to start a blog or a website with their one-click installers. So if you're familiar with WordPress or Drupal or something like that, HostGator makes it incredibly easy to put a website together. So I know a lot of you out there have a lot of knowledge about the RC industry that honestly we don't have the ability or the time to touch on, but now you can with how easy HostGator makes it. If you need something even easier, HostGator has drag and drop website builders, so you can just use those easy features to build your website. Their hosting service is also optimized around WordPress, so your blog will always load fast. So again, if you can send us an email to support@flighttest.com and tell us what your website is that you built with HostGator, we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Okay, that's
boom. Okay. Kill shot.
Kill shot.
Wow. Headshot. All right. Yeah. Everybody. Worse.
They're like, what in the world is that? That is our dollar store 5-hour energy drinks because we're all so stinking tired.
It's a hot stacker.
It's a hot stacker.
I can't even open it.
I know you can do it.
I can't do it. I'm laughing too hard.
I think that we definitely need to.
Oh, got it.
We need to drink those every podcast. Actually, I would
it's
love.
It's horrible
to.
When it's warm.
I wish we could show Alex.
You guys got to learn to commit.
Just to update everyone, Alex and Josh are drinking some really gross energy.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad when it's hot.
It's like 5-hour energy, but it's the cheap kind. It's the discount dollar.
There is nothing wrong with dollar energy or dollar store 5-hour or 5-hour energy.
Except for I'm sensing an effortless podcast.
No.
That's what I'm sensing.
That was actually my emergency fund, and I brought that out just so we'd have the energy to do a good job. So I even share it with Alex, which I never share my 5-hour energies.
Well, I'm glad that you were thinking that far ahead.
You know what they stopped making? Is those huge. Remember that awesome one I had? It was like a 12-hour energy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they stopped making those because it probably
killed some people.
Yeah, people died.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
You brought one of those to Null. It was a 14-hour energy.
Yeah.
And it was like 3 times the size. I think they just took a bigger bottle and
it's like a torpedo of energy.
It said, do not take all at once. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Like close it and then wait 10 hours?
2 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I need 2 more hours energy.
Can you turn up my mic a little bit or my earphones?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, wow. Okay.
It's too much.
Too much. I don't hear myself that much.
Who's here? I'm Austin.
I am Alex.
I am Josh Bixler.
We have a short crew today.
Mm-hmm. A little bit short staff. Were we talking about CEF today?
We're going to be talking about CEF, yes.
Because you guys went to CEF. I didn't go to CEF.
Well, you had a more important thing going on, which is more important than CEF even, because it has to do with life.
Actually, a lot more important than CEF.
Yes.
I had a baby girl. And
Charlie.
Her name's Charlie. And that was April 13th. See, got the date and everything.
Mama and baby okay?
Oh, yeah. Doing just great. Yeah.
So that means we're down a shipper, so have patience with us.
That means one of our most valuable shipping ladies has gone.
But in a way, we may have gained another one in the future.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
I like to see that we're investing in the future, slowly but surely. Short-term loss, long-term potential gain.
Yes.
That's what we're into here.
For us to get new employees, somebody either has to get married or have a child.
And wait
18 years. Yeah, give or take.
Not 16
yeah.
years. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, 15,
Noah,
16
Noah,
years.
Noah and Michael come in every now and then.
They do.
And help out.
They do. But don't worry, we don't pay them.
For anyone worried about legal issues there, we don't pay them anything.
Yeah, we give them foam airplanes to crash. And they are also our test crew, too. They're pretty funny in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Well, today we are going to be talking about Ceph. We're going to be talking about a couple of topics. We have some voicemails, as always, to play at the end of the show. Actually, I'm trying something kind of interesting today. Approximately 6 minutes ago, I posted on the Flight Test Facebook that we're doing a podcast Q&A coming up on Monday, which is what I should have said is that we're releasing it on Monday, but is what I actually meant is that I need questions like right now to answer. So once we get past talking about Ceph and stuff like that, we're going to take some questions from Facebook that were posted in like the last 10 minutes.
Wow.
So that'll be kind of fun.
There's going to be at least three of them.
So that's how important it is when we post something on the Flight Test Facebook that says post your question. That means like now.
Because you never know when we're going to screw something up and need it now.
And need it right now. So actually there's some really interesting questions on there. So I'm curious to get to those.
I'm impressed how you guys can use your computers, but you don't hear. You know?
That's true. Yeah, I'm not
typing. This is an iPad.
Actually, we should be typing, but like typing notes and stuff. But that's better.
Thank you.
All right, well, how was Ceph, guys?
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
something else.
Incredible.
Well, let's start first things first. How was the trip down to Ceph? What did you guys do then?
Trip down was great. I don't know. I'm sure people that listen to the podcast probably know that our favorite Swede is going to be going home.
Mm-hmm.
So we really wanted to make it a special time, make as many memories with them as possible. So we left on Monday afternoon. And this was also the first time we took David Noptop with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you were home waiting for baby to come.
Indeed.
And we drove through the night. And we drove till we couldn't drive anymore, or at least I couldn't stay awake on the road. And we pulled over to a truck stop, slept. And then the following morning, we pushed into South Carolina and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to talk too much, but we wanted to shoot an episode on the way down. And we called the gentleman. I wish I remember his name. But basically, we looked up the contact information for Joe Knoll. Contacted him.
Triple Tree,
yep. And we wanted to see if we could go out there and shoot our FX-79 video. Well, they're adding 20 acres of land to Joe Knoll, and the place is already gorgeous and huge, but apparently what they do is they're in constant construction up until the point of like Joe Knoll, and they're constantly improving. These guys are amazing, and I did talk to them. I want to do an interview with them because this flying club is not a club that just comes out and flies all the time. They spend 3 weeks out of the month doing nothing but maintenance and working and improving that airstrip in that field, and then 1 week flying.
Well, it definitely shows because that place is a top class facility.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that.
It's the standard that everything is judged upon, I think. It's just crazy. And going back to Southern Hospitality, guys, like, well, it's all torn up and really, you know, worst possible time. But if you want to come out, you can. And we weren't about to do that. So what we did is we got a reference to him to go to, I'm going to mess it up, Black Sheep RC
Club.
RC Club, yep. And that was in South Carolina, Pendleton, South Carolina. And before we went there, though, we went to the Peach. You want to talk about the Peach, Alex?
The Big Peach? Yeah,
big
it was just
peach.
It was just a rather large peach.
It's a water tower.
It's a water tower.
Yep. I Wikipedia'd it.
I
got my wiki on. And
it was cool.
It's
yeah, we went up.
Gallons.
Wow.
Yeah,
a million
you know
gallons.
Yeah.
If you look at it from the right angle, it looks kind of inappropriate, but
like a buttocks that's red.
We won't go there. Yeah. Plus, it's like starting to wear, and it's like got this like brown rust in certain areas, and it just kind of looks.
Well, the most creepy
awkward.
Thing was where it stripped down to the bare metal on the top, and looked like it had like mold.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a moldy peach.
Peach had
but
mold on it, but
needless to say, the peach was pretty awesome,
yeah.
And we flew up. David flew up and actually
yes.
touched it with his quad,
yep.
which was pretty cool.
Touched the beach.
Nice. Poke.
But yeah, got some really good footage. And then from there, we headed out to Ceph.
Yep.
Going back to Triple Tree, where Joe Knoll is held, though, I was telling Austin, I actually literally just had a dream last night that we moved our headquarters to Triple Tree.
That would be awesome.
And
I've never been
there before, so like my dream imagination was just making up what it looked like. And there was
tell me what you imagined it to be, and I'll tell you how accurate you are.
I almost am certain that this isn't how it is, but there's obviously a flying field, real short Bermuda grass.
Okay,
Bermuda and then grass. If you turn around and look behind you, there's this like majestic redwood forest kind of place that's
pretty
perfect
close.
For flying mini quads.
Ah. I see some of your stuff is trickling into your dream right now.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, Triple Tree can be whatever you want it to be.
Yes. Tell me, was there planes at this place?
There were planes.
There were planes.
There were planes.
But most importantly, there were woods for you to fly your little mini H-quad that you were absolutely in love with.
Yeah, through the majestical forest.
Can we just own it now and say that we love these little mini H-quads so much? You're going to see a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we're sorry, but, you know, we love them, and we can't get enough of them, and we're just constantly finding new ways to – to do things.
And we're actually going to be checking out some other frames too. The blackouts were the first ones we got our hands on, but there's plenty out there of different people who are manufacturing these crazy little quads, and we are planning on testing them out, maybe even making our own design.
Mm-hmm. You're starting to get quite a name for yourself too. I noticed a lot of the packages coming to us says Alex Zavada on it, which is pretty darn awesome, and you definitely earned that role.
Speaking of packages, we just got one. From Crazy Uncle Gary.
Crazy Uncle Gary from Great Hobbies. If you guys don't know, Great Hobbies is probably in a couple weeks or so. They're getting their motors and electronics in order. But they're going to be our first international distributor of our products. So if you're in Canada and you don't want to pay $33 in shipping and you don't want to then buy electronics from somewhere else, you can go to greathobbies.com or go to one of their stores and you're going to see our products. And that's the first step we want to take into hopefully taking care of this whole shipping issue, which is horrible.
Yeah. And, so we've been aware of, you know, the high shipping costs internationally and that sort of thing for a long time, which, you know, the whole point of getting the shipping down is so you don't have to pay the same cost as the kit, you know, in order to ship something. So Canada's the first step just because, obviously, logistically, it's easy to... We're new to all this. You know, over a year ago, we didn't even have a store.
It'll be the least costly. If we make a mistake, you know, we can fix it the quickest. And, and also we can learn. But there's also great people from United Kingdom and other countries that want to help us out. And you have some opportunities that have opened, and Austin's taking care of that. So we recognize the fact that when you guys buy a kit from us, it's a donation. It's a way to support us. So we don't want you having to throw lots of money through postage. We want to make sure you can get it all in one shot. And if partnering with great people like Great Hobbies and Crazy Uncle Gary is the way to make it happen, we are so excited about that. But, yeah, that's totally off the beat. You're talking that Crazy Uncle Gary sent us
A helicopter.
A helicopter, which...
Forget the name of it already.
It's called the Nine Eagles Solo Pro 270?
290.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We flew it.
We did.
Before we walked in here, like, I'm going to fly it.
We don't. Gary, if you don't know already, we aren't exactly what you would call heli guys.
Yes.
But we did fly it, and it didn't crash.
It was a blast.
It was crazy. It flew really good.
It was more locked in than my Blade 400, which probably isn't saying too much because I think the Blade 400 kind of has a bad rap now. But
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to fly. And
it was kind of like a scale. I don't know what the model of helicopter was based after.
Some kind of Hughes.
Something like that, but very scale. Seemed really well built.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of metal.
Maybe we will, if you guys want to see more helicopter stuff, let us know.
We should let them know why we call him Crazy Uncle Gary, too. He introduced
That's not derogatory.
Yeah, no, it's not. We got to meet up with him down at Weak Signals, Toledo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was when we did our you know, exchange products and everything, got to fellowship with him a little
bit. In the parking lot of a spaghetti warehouse.
That didn't look creepy at all.
It's not shady at all.
But he went up to my kids and he's like, you can call me Crazy Uncle Gary. And we quickly found out why he's called Crazy Uncle Gary. And it's because he's crazy. And we have a picture. I know on my phone, and we'll put it up on the show notes.
There you go.
Of Crazy Uncle Gary. But what a ball. And also Jim, right?
Yep.
His partner, Jim. Those are two of the neatest guys, and he has a real heart for the hobby and for people.
Yeah.
So what a great combination. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
I just kind of heard the cats here. Back to the peach.
We were at the peach.
How did we go from the peach to that? Okay, well, after the peach was the FX-79 episode we shot.
I forgot about that. Black Sheep RC Club.
Yes. And
that was fun.
It was a blast. And they didn't know who in the world we were. I just called them up out of the blue and said, hey, you know, we're traveling through. Can we fly at your field and shoot
again,
some video?
Again, with the Southern hospitality. Everybody down there is just great.
And I'm not knocking Northern hospitality. We live in the North. Yeah. But there's just something special about...
We're kind of Hospitable
people?
Hospitable.
Hostile.
Hostile people? Hospitable. But no, super nice. He's like, I don't know who you are, but yeah, you can fly. I'll be down there around 2:30. And I'm not even trying to do a southern draw, but we roll in the RV, and we pop out, and he's like, are you guys some kind of team or something? I just loved it because they didn't have a clue who we were, but they were so welcoming and kind. Mm-hmm. And we unloaded all our stuff. They were, you know, super friendly, super helpful. We put up our planes, and I say it every time because we have a couple. You're going to hear this multiple times. What do they call us, Alex?
Sparkies. Sparkies, because they saw our electric foam planes.
They fly all gas.
They're like, oh, I get it. You guys are Sparkies.
Sparkies.
Old Sparkies.
They were great. And, you know, a lot of people give clubs a bad rap, and sometimes maybe I'm at fault for that. They were up there in years, but their kindness and their love for the hobby and also their love for people, they want the hobby to grow and they want their club to grow.
And they were more than willing to try new experiences.
Yes. Yes, with FPV.
Yeah, they were not slow to take the transmitter. We played past the transmitter with them, even threw the goggles on them and just told them to go for it, and they had a blast.
There was no arm bending whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was really great to see that. They're like, oh, okay, well, we'll commit, and they did, and they all did fantastic. And also, we have the new Warbird coming out, and we brought that down to Seth, and you pulled that out for them to fly. And since they were gas Warbird guys, it was pretty cool. So
they liked it though.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, one did a really amazing dead stick landing, which is cool.
Yeah, and the prop was pretty out of balance, so it kind of sounded like a gas plane.
That was my fault.
It could be why the motor stopped working too.
Yeah,
but luckily, he was a pro pilot and.
Well, you know, I accidentally put the wrong speed control when I was hooking it up.
Oh, really?
It was supposed to take a 30 amp, and I put like a 18 amp in it, so it's my fault.
In case anybody is curious about that episode's actually already out, and that's titled FX-79 Let's Fly.
Yes.
So, yeah, you can see all the footage that we shot there.
You can see all the attacks that David did towards the FX-79. It was horrible.
Yeah, there's something about David's tricopter it just is drawn to the FX-79s. Yeah.
And both the Build Tune Fly and the Let's Fly, he hits me both times. and it took it well. It kept flying, and his tricopter did not.
Yeah.
So it turned out to be a durability test.
FX-79, 2, David, 0.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. He was pretty salty, but it was the first stop of the trip.
It was.
And my favorite part in the episode is where he's like, interesting, first stop of the trip and tricopter's down. Yeah. And then he just walks away with his head down.
Poor guy.
It was a fun time. Well, then we moved on to Seth.
Yep.
No, we didn't. We went to Stone Mountain.
That was a big thing. It was only last week.
Like. Nice try.
What
is Stone Mountain, first of all?
It's a stone mountain. It's like a giant rock.
It's God's pebble.
Where is this located?
It's in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
And we rolled in around 8:30 to the sound of fireworks because they're so happy to see us.
And techno music.
Or they're just doing their laser light show that they do
laser
every time.
Lights, yeah.
But we pulled in and we camped out. And it was wonderful because we were able to hook up, charge all our batteries, and... you know, it was great. Mm-hmm. If you guys are ever in the Stone Mountain area or in Georgia and you want to see something amazing, it was $10 to get through the gate. And once again, going back to Southern Hospitality, they were just super kind and friendly. And I was asking the lady, I was like, has anyone ever flown model airplanes? She's like, I don't know. I was like, do you have any problems? She's like, I don't think so. And no one gave us a single lick of trouble while we were down there the whole time. We were flying our multi-rotors around. And the following morning, actually, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, we did a Let's Fly.
Yeah, Let's Fly was fun. And the park itself is beautiful. And I think it costs, $10 to get into?
Yes.
So if you're ever in the area, definitely go check it out.
$40 to hook up your RV, you know, to
you
it.
You can't beat that.
Yeah,
actually, it was 47, 40, remember?
You only
paid 40 and she called you the next morning.
I made a mistake. I didn't see that Lakefront was like $7 more. So
yeah.
I didn't give her enough money and I had to go back and pay her more. But she was nice about it. And yeah, long story short, great place, great environment. There was something else at Stone Mountain. Oh, we climbed it.
Yeah, we went to the top.
Yeah, we went to the top, and it was windy.
Yeah, it was really, really windy. Actually, we flew at the base of it in the morning when we did a Let's Fly there, and David was flying his gimbal quad up to the top.
Yes.
And so when you're flying through the gimbal, you can't tell what the copter's doing because the gimbal's keeping the camera in the horizon completely steady. So he's like jamming on the sticks. He's like, I can't move. It's like, I can't move.
Slowly creeping back towards the rock.
And he just kept going towards the rock. And he's like, I can't get out. So luckily, he eventually cut the power a little bit and put it into a dive.
Yeah.
And he was able to pull it out of there. But we didn't realize until we climbed to the top of the mountain that it is pretty windy up there.
Crazy windy. And yeah. You can see the difference. We're doing going to have a Let's Fly released probably next week, I think, with Lisco
yes,
Mountain.
I think so.
And you'll see.
Actually, it'll be this week by the time this goes out.
Oh, that's true.
It'll be today.
It'll be today. Is that one that's – no, that's the recap.
It's either today or Wednesday.
Actually, I think today – or Monday 21st –
We move things
be,
around.
Yeah, we move things around. It's going to be the
It'll
recap.
Be out in the near future.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
Well, just look at Dave's video, and it looks like it's just glass smooth there. And then look at Alex when he goes up and looks at the carving in the rock at the angle he is at just to maintain one spot. It'll give you an idea. And I'm of course, deadly afraid of heights. So I did train mapping. Yeah. Matter of fact, though, I did get a little bit of guts when we were on top of the rock. We did bring our multi-rotors, and I lifted it off about, 6 feet, just enough to get the opening shot, and that was it. So there you go.
But, yeah, top of the Stone Mountain was pretty epic.
Yeah.
If we were smart, we would have brought some slope soars.
I don't think slope soars. We would have had, 5 pounds of weight in those things.
I don't know. Yeah, it still would have been fun.
It would have been.
I bet a Kraken would have done awesome.
The Kraken. By the way, our Kraken is still alive, but barely.
From Seth, yeah.
From Seth.
It's okay. We know how to make more.
It came in It came in first in the paintball challenge,
yep.
And then it came in second in the
night bowling.
Night bowling.
And we put it through. Dave Endestol was an amazing pit crew because we did some of the most evil things with that. We were hitting them. Basically, what night bowling is they have a table with a ramp going up to it, and then these light up pool noodles that you have to fly through and see how many you can knock down. And the goal is to – everyone's doing it at the same time, six at a time. The goal is to knock down as many in six passes as you can. And the Kraken being as big and stable as it is, it was very easy to lock it in and just nail it over and over.
It's like
and
a
over.
Mower.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean the props always stay on. So we were breaking props and landing and hitting other planes, and it was pretty fun.
I bet a pusher Kraken would be pretty effective.
I know, it's just a CG issue.
It's tough.
But I think we need to make it happen.
We could just put a DSLR on the front or a brick.
You know, people right now are going to be like, okay, when's the build video for the Kraken?
Yeah.
It's coming soon. We were supposed to release it last week, but I never got the video shot. So,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's coming. Sooner than later.
Yes.
We appreciate your patience.
By that time, we'll have a Kraken version 2 right after it, you know. Did you see the blunt nose Kraken that guy did?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
My gosh. Where was that? Was that on Instagram?
On Instagram, yeah.
It was
yeah.
amazing.
Which, I knew his name, but.
Yeah, if you're on Instagram or Twitter or anything, look up hashtag flight test because there's starting to get quite a few posts.
Yes.
I remember when I first started working with flight test, I was on Instagram and I started hashtagging flight test. There's 30 posts or 20 posts. Now it's up to almost over 1,000 different.
It's well over 1,000 now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Lots of people posting and lots of cool pictures on there.
And I have Instagram friends. I don't know.
Josh Bixler has an Instagram. Yeah, I was pretty salty about the fact that he started an Instagram account. Within 2 hours, he had more followers than me.
Thank you, guys. I promise to get more than 7 pictures up like I currently have. Now no one's going to want to be my friend because they know there's only 7 pictures.
Well, there's I think that between the flight test Instagram and the 3 of our Instagrams that we get a picture out, I don't know, at least one every other day.
There you go.
Something like that.
There you go.
Okay.
So, Seth, we haven't even arrived at Seth yet. We're still rambling on.
Still talking about going to Seth.
Yeah, I want to ask the people listening to this, do they want us to keep talking? But I can't. You know, it's kind of futile. So
we'll
just keep rambling.
Let's assume they want to hear a little bit more about Seth and just kind of recap the time there.
Did I mention Southern Hospitality?
Yes, I believe you mentioned that.
Okay, well, it's there when we rolled into Seth. A guy met us at the door. He actually took us around in a golf cart to show us all the different
spots. Yeah, as soon as we show up, what are they called? Moderators?
Organizers. Volunteers. Super
volunteer,
awesome
people. Yeah, they were all awesome. As soon as we showed up, everything, they told us right where to go. They said, here's all the different spots you get to choose from, and everything was straight to the point, and they did a really awesome job.
And it's a good thing we arrived the day we did, which was Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. Because prior to that, it was, a lake. I guess it rained so hard that the lake they built on it 2 years ago overturned its banks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually flying water planes off the runway. And you didn't see the runway.
It
wasn't
it was
underwater. A puddle. It was underwater. And there was fish on the runway.
Yeah. When I was walking out towards the woods and some guy's like, don't walk over there in that tall grass. And I was like, why? He's like, because there's dead fish everywhere. I'm like... Interesting.
Interesting.
It dried up beautifully.
Yeah, it dried up pretty quick. Wednesday was a little damp, but By Thursday, it was good to go.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
And speaking of trees, that's what I spent a good majority of my time was flying through these awesome trees down there at Ceph. Yes. And doing laps around the lake with the mini H quad. And I had the privilege of flying with the foam and tape guy,
Peter,
which he's done. Great. Yeah, we've collaborated with him in the past, and
it's safe to say you have a man crush on him. Right?
I mean, you can say that. Yeah. He took a T28 Trojan, slapped some FPV gear on there, and we were doing runs through the woods like the Star Wars trench run.
And both Peter and you are phenomenal pilots. I can't speak highly enough of both of you. But watching you guys work together, the footage you got, because you followed him the whole time, and you didn't just, like, follow by his tail. You, like, got the cinematic shot when he's circling around, lining up. And the second he was going for it, you were right there behind him. And it was really cool to watch.
Yeah, which that video is actually up on my personal YouTube channel.
Yes.
So go check it out. If you can't find my YouTube channel, we link to it on the Flight Test Facebook. So just check out our wall and you can find it.
Don't bother going to my YouTube channel. You'll be very disappointed. I don't even know if I still have one. Isn't that bad?
No, it's not really that bad.
No.
To be fair, you put out quite a bit of YouTube content.
Oh, okay. Enough. But you know, beyond that, too, speaking of organizers, there were some phenomenal organizers. The first person we met when we were signing up was, I'm going to butcher her name, Emma Roey.
Emma, yeah.
R-O-E-Y, I believe is her name. And her father, who, because I forgot the coffee maker, coffeed us up every morning until we left. And thank you. I believe his name is Phil.
Yes.
Thank you, Phil, from the bottom of our hearts, because...
it was great coffee.
It was good coffee, and we really needed it. But the kindness, and we're hoping to possibly have for Flight Fest, even Emma come up and help us out, because she ran a very
She seemed
ship.
To be very experienced, which was impressive for how young she seemed.
Yeah.
But apparently she's been assistant director. Is that
She's been doing this since she was like 12 years old.
Yeah, so
she
has a lot of experience with these kind of events. So
hopefully what we're going to do is get some volunteers. I know my wonderful bride is going to be helping out, and I believe possibly Miss Anna.
Sure.
And if we get – we're just volunteering her.
Yeah.
She'll be old enough by then. We'll hopefully have a fun event that's somewhat organized. You don't want us organizing too much or being in charge of too much.
Josh is talking about is Flight Fest
2014.
Which I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you want more information about that, you can go to flightfest.com.
Is it up?
It's up. It's not totally done, but it will be by Monday.
Wow.
And actually, it won't even be done by Monday because when I say website, that's a very generous term. Basically, all it is
a
just an informational page. It just says when, where, a little bit about it. Nearby hotels, camping info, that sort of thing. So
people are going to get stressed with us saying this. We're setting the bar pretty low. We just want to have this kind of as a big open house, but because we can't properly fly in fellowship.
Yeah, and that's basically what it came from, is that we got kind of frustrated with having open houses here just because, 50-plus people were showing up, and at 50-plus people in our little shop here, it's not really fun. It's too cramped.
Especially when it's raining outside.
Yeah. It's just if there's any kind of weather issue, and even when the weather is nice, you can't really even really fly out here. I mean, this is like
not safely.
Like a couple of park flyer type area.
Yeah.
But where we're going to be having Flight Fest, we can comfortably have, a few hundred people and they can all fly.
This is going to be really grassroots too.
Yes.
I mean, really just simple get together, like you're getting together with your buddies and having fun.
And we don't really know a whole lot about running events, so we appreciate patience with us. But basically, we just wanted to have a place where we could all get together and fly.
And we're going to have some fun things going on. It's just how well they work out, we don't know yet.
Exactly. So anyway, just real basic information, that's flightfest.com. You can check that out. That'll at least give you an address. It'll tell you where it is and hotels you can stay at nearby.
Nice.
Look for more information. And basically, because we're only 90 days away, we need to know very, very quickly how many people are kind of roughly planning on coming to this. So in order to kind of get a head count or see if there's even enough interest to put it on, we're going to – because, we need to have some hands raised to see who is all coming to this. How we're going to handle that is we're going to put up a Kickstarter here in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm saying this on Monday the 21st, so I'm hoping that by Friday of this week we're going to have that Kickstarter up. And you can get to that Kickstarter by going to flightfest.com. It's going to be linked
there.
And so if you're in, we'll have, the very, very smallest package will be pilot registration.
Yep, for the whole weekend.
For the whole weekend. And then camping. And then there'll be some packages where you can pick up some planes to save on shipping. that sort of thing.
What if they want to come, but they don't have an AMA license or they don't want to be a pilot?
It's going to be free just to come and hang out.
Nice.
And just, I mean, we're basically, unless you're flying, you know, there's really no reason to really no reason to pay. So, but we're going to have camping area. Yeah, so and primitive cool. camping, I should say.
Primitive, yeah, no hookups.
Yeah, no hookups or anything like that. But
no matches. Just you have to start a fire with
You have to use a stick and a log if you want to start a fire.
You got to start your fire with warm feelings.
Which, speaking of fires, I think there's just going to be one big community fire.
Yep.
We're going to keep it simple.
Yeah. A big bonfire.
And also keep everybody together so we can all have a good
yeah.
time.
Yeah. And we're going to do some hardcore late night partying in the court of foam building, right?
Yeah. We'll
be building at night.
Yeah. We've kind of set up some things so that we can do some hot glue time at night.
And that actually goes back to Seth, too. We trial ballooned that a little bit. Build night, and we fell in love with the idea when we went to NEF in Akron,
mm-hmm.
and we got to all gang up on a build and do it really quick. Like, this is so much cool.
Yeah, what was that guy? Dave, I think that
Dave,
guy's
yeah.
name was.
And we got to all jump in and do a build together, and it's neat because when you fly a battery, you know, it's 10, 15 minutes, where this was like 3 hours of fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that at Ceph, and well, let me get the right people because so many people helped us out. We had Darren that helped us out with extension cords and extra.
Devin.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Bit ogre.
I always called him Bit. And then Crafty Dan. We didn't have enough lighting.
Crafty Dan is seriously crafty.
Very crafty. His soldering trip for. Soldering tip was really cool, and he also made us some beautiful LED light poles, and he yeah. gave us two of them.
Look like lightsabers.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Crafty Dan is one of our excellent moderators on the flight test forum.
Awesome. Awesome.
So
yeah, and also Flying Monkey's coming down too. Speaking of moderators,
oh,
I believe he put in for vacation. So
very nice.
Flying Monkey.
Yeah, that's Fred Provost.
Yep.
His name isn't really Flying Monkey.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So basically, I just wanted to give you guys a quick update on that, just mm-hmm. because we want to respect the people that are calling off vacation, for an example.
Yes. Yeah.
And make sure we're getting the information out there. But we just, we just wanted to have an awesome open house.
Yes.
And instead of an open house, we're going to have a mini fly-in.
And for all you guys coming for the first year, God bless you, because you're going to help us identify the wrinkles so we can iron them out.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
No matter what happens, we're going to be fellowshipping, hanging out, flying airplanes, eating food, enjoying mm-hmm. ourselves.
So. Food's good.
Yes.
Will there be Mountain Dew there?
We can make that happen.
There'll be a Mountain Dew fountain.
You can just stick your head in it.
That's my dream right there. Okay.
All right, well,
Seth.
Back to Seth.
We took the 200 percenters.
200 percenters.
Yep.
Brought two of them there.
Took one home.
Took one home.
Do we want to give a guess on which one came home?
Well, I see it. Actually, is it still sitting in the chair out front?
Yeah, watching television.
With the cruiser?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cruiser came home.
One of our very few chairs we hear at Flight Test is being occupied by the giant cruiser. So.
Well, it's because we had to make room for the giant laser that came in.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point.
And I think Chad spilled the beans last podcast in regards to our little incident.
Okay, yeah. Let's wrap up, Seth. We'll tell the laser fire story.
we went and flew the 200 percenters, and also, Alex, you were when you weren't talking with people or flying through the woods, you were passing the transmitter with the P-51.
Yeah.
So, in case you guys don't know, I think we've leaked it a couple times. I think it's safe to say we're releasing a P-51 Mustang flight test style, and it was going to be at the end of this month, but sadly, because of our laser fire, it's getting moved to the first week, hopefully in May.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're pushing the batches so we can keep customer service with what we currently need. And we are keeping ahead. We're okay. But we don't want to add a new release and then fall behind and fall short on customer service.
Yep. Yep.
But, Alex, you were playing pass the transmitter with that.
Yeah, I might get his name wrong. But John, the Wildcat guy.
Wildcat guy, yes.
He actually emailed me today.
Did he?
Yeah, he was excited about putting his P-51 together.
We sent him home with a pre-kit.
Had some suggestions for future builds. He wants to see a yak.
A yak?
Yeah.
Yak.
Which
well, you know, I felt bad because I still hadn't put the dihedral gauge in there or the throw gauge.
Yeah.
There's a couple of gauges I need to still put in the kit. So
yeah.
Sorry about that.
Which, John, if you're listening, it might be a good idea to wait till the build video. If you can wait.
Yeah.
Just fly your Wildcats until this guy had like he's like
he had a lot of Wildcats.
The park zone, specifically the park zone, that's what he liked.
Yeah.
He's like, I got like 7 Wildcats. He's like,
they do fly so nice. They're absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
the Park Zone Wildcat, which is discontinued.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's up with that Horizon?
I don't know. Horizon, you guys baffle me. Everything that's good that you ever created, you discontinue. And then come out with a mini version.
You're not talking about the Icon A5, are you? Yeah. The big Icon was fantastic, at least much better than the mini one.
Yeah, it's actually – Horizon, if you're listening.
Well, you
were at CEF, so you know. Did you see all the Icon A5s over on the pond? It's like the most popular plane. And some of them looked terrible. Like they need some replacement parts, but they can't get them.
Yeah.
Actually, they may be able to get replacement parts still.
How's this? Put AS3X in the Icon and release it as a version 2, and that way you can put it back on the market without seeming like, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we pulled it back to improve it.
Or make a huge one the size of the Carbon Cub.
Oh, do that.
That would be cool, too.
The only thing
Carbon Icon.
The only thing that was bad about the Icon was with that scale and that weight, a little bit of crosswind would tip that wing right in the water. And that was kind of the unfortunate thing, because obviously the big one, you have a lot more weight in it, and it's not going to tip like that. But one, would tip and dig its wing in. But
you see, Horizon, we are professional spitballers. We can just come up with ideas, and we got this all day. Just give us a topic, we'll spitball.
I'll tell you what, just Horizon, let us release a flight test edition of the Icon A5 through you, and we'll spec it out for you, and we'll release it. We'll love you for it. Now I'm really overstepping my bounds, aren't I?
Spitball edition.
I'm sorry, guys.
Spitball edition.
All right.
So what were you talking about?
Seth.
Oh, Wildcat guy.
Wildcat guy.
Yeah,
we went from Wildcat to Icon 5.
How are those energy drinks, guys?
He flew the Wildcat guy, John, flew the P-51.
Yeah.
Loved it. And he was flying at completely scale.
Yes.
And commentating. He actually gave you the whole breakdown of the cat warbirds. So he's like, first in this year, the wildcat came out. Then it was the bearcat, then the tiger cat. And then he just kept going.
I think it was
going.
Wildcat, hellcat, bearcat, tiger cat.
Yeah, he went through everything, giving us history
he
lessons.
He knows his history.
Yeah, which I love history. So it was cool. It was cool talking with you, John.
Yeah.
Hope you made it home. He came all the way to Seth from California.
Wow.
And his wonderful wife. Can't forget her. She was a very, very nice young lady.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We got to meet a lot of husbands and wives, which is really cool.
And girlfriends.
You talking about Big Red's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe they're married.
Maybe. I hope we didn't make that awkward for you.
Tune in next week and find out.
Tune in next week. We find out if Big Red is married or just dating. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But yeah.
We're never drinking Stacker energy drinks before the podcast.
But Big Red was a man. He actually had...
Oh, my gosh. He should be on Second Life.
He actually had... I'm really trying not to leak this photo that we have of Big Red.
Oh, leak it. Just leak it.
Because Big Red's like, don't post that.
Oh, he didn't?
But he said that.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Guess we're not posting
We shouldn't that. Even talk about the fact that Dave signed his chest.
And there it is. Yeah, we'll definitely not talk about that.
We're just clipping there. Yeah, and we won't talk about the fact that we have an awesome picture of it. Big Red, you blessed us with hanging out with us. Thank you so much. And guys, I know I've said it in the videos. I'm going to say it as much as I can. We love meeting you. The whole reason we went to CEF was not to fly planes up and down the field. We can do that here. It was to meet you guys, and you guys made it possible for us to travel and meet you. So please, if you come down and you want to chat with us, I know some people are like, oh, we know you guys are busy. We don't want to bother you. You bless us. You don't bother us. So please come over, hang out. We bring the RV in with the tents and everything just so we can hang out and spend time together. We don't care if it's for a long time, for a couple minutes or for a long time. We're here to talk with you.
Yep.
Did I say that? Okay.
Well said.
That was,
yes.
Okay. And speaking of that subject, we have nailed down the date for the European meetup.
Oh, yeah.
It is officially – I know I think I said 26th or 27th last podcast, but it is officially nailed down as the 26th.
The 26th.
And unfortunately, I tried, we're trying to narrow down the location. I know that we said Provence or however David said it.
Provence.
In France. And I had a couple people email me say that's like a really big area. Can you be a little bit more specific? So I understand that. I'm familiar with that. But we just don't have that yet. And part of that was to gauge exactly how many people are going to come, that sort of thing. So,
and you got responses of people that live in Provence.
Yes, we did. Well, not only that, but I guess that's a pretty happen in vacation area.
Is it?
In Europe. So I guess there's a lot of people that are already on vacation out that way. So
very cool.
I got to say, my wife is kind of frustrated with the fact that I get to go to Europe and she doesn't.
That is
unfortunate. Yeah, so is Lindsay.
Yeah,
Lindsay.
I have no doubt we're all going to take a little flack for that.
Yeah.
But those are all the places I wanted to go with you.
Oh.
I'm like, we can go.
You're like, babe, I'm just checking them out. So that way I know where to go when we're together.
Well, I know where the bad areas are. Stay away from.
my my bride, it was the cutest thing. There's not many things where if I said, Jen, let's go ahead and go away, you know, like we're going to celebrate our 15th year anniversary. And
congrats.
Thank you. We're going to go away and we're actually going to leave the kids at home for a couple days.
Nice.
Not at home with grandparents, you know, but I didn't want
to locked in the house.
Have harsh judgment. Yeah, lock them in the closet. But there's not many times that my wife would openly, gladly, you know, say, yeah, let them stay with the, you know, grandparents for a couple of days. Europe, hands down, would have been one of them.
Yeah,
she would have been like, you know what, a week, that's fine, we'll do it, you know. And as convicted of as a mother as she is and as awesome as a mother she is, that's how much it meant to her. So yeah. It kind of made me sad that I had to say, no, sweetie, I'm going to be going solo. But I don't think she wants to be in an RV with a whole bunch of guys.
I think that would probably wear off pretty quick.
Yeah, that loses some of its charm because, you know, an RV for a week can get a little smelly.
And honestly, as much as I wanted to be set with you guys and everything, I do know what those trips are like, and, like, there's times...
Are you talking about my snoring? We got that figured out, man.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Neff Brothers hooked us up with an RV with bunk beds, and it had a door that shut, and I was all the way in the front by the driver's seat.
It was actually pretty nice.
All right.
And they were in the back with the door shut. I don't think it was that bad for you.
It wasn't great.
I slept great.
I was two rooms away, and I could still hear
Are you
it.
Serious?
But with my Bose noise canceling headphones, I managed.
Nice plug for Bose there.
Hey, is there any snore doctors I could talk to before this thing?
Maybe I could probably get you a business card or two. Yeah,
I snore and I have sleep apnea, so there
well,
you
not,
go.
Not that we need to delve into all the Josh's personal problems, but
it just makes a very eventful RV trip. I'll just say that much.
Well, what's one more highlight from Seth? You guys got anything?
Oh my gosh. Besides awesome people.
Well, I don't think we ever got to the 200% planes. One came home. David crashed his.
Yeah.
His wing folded. So if you're downloading the free plans, it may be wise to reinforce the wing.
Because
he went with the foam spar. Mm-hmm. I think he doubled it up a little bit.
It was four. Instead of two layers of foam, it was four. And what it was is I think as the humidity gets there and moisture attacks the foam, paper doesn't keep it strained. Once it's wet, it'll dry up and be crispy, but it's no longer adhering to the foam.
Which it spent a couple sunrises and sunsets out there in the grass.
Yeah.
It would get all dewy.
Yeah. So actually, Alex, you were following him when this started happening. Mm-hmm. You could tell from the air that something was going on.
Yeah. That was right after I got done flying with Foam and Tape Guy, and I saw you guys taking off. And I took off right away, and that was I saw you come in for a landing. And I was like, oh, cool, David's going to still fly. And he was doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, David? And then I noticed his dihedral seemed to be slowly increasing every roll or loop that he did. And I was like, man, he's going to – and then sure enough, it's funny because you see it first in the goggles because I was actually pretty far away. So I saw it happen in the goggles first, and then like a split second later, I heard it because it took a little while for
it. It was quite funny. A slap.
Yeah,
it was,
and everybody was watching. They're like, oh.
and you know, it's funny because usually Dave is like really. He was kind of sad about that one. I felt
understandably so.
Yeah.
No one ribbed him hard on that one because they could feel his pain, and he actually had quite a few visits with the water while we're there. His Viggen,
which by the way, the Spitfire, the wings folded, and he crashed into the water.
Yeah.
So
not exactly salvageable.
Yeah, and we got some good footage of that too.
It was epic.
And that recap's going to be Monday. It'll be in that recap. So
today.
You listened to
yesterday.
Today.
Kabam.
Yeah, it's quite an extreme edit. And God bless Dave Noptop. Can I call him Dave Noptop? Dave Nop.
You can call him whatever.
Dave
Nop
can Noptop.
That's between you and Dave.
He's not here.
He's here. See, he just knocked on the door.
Come on in.
Here. Who's here?
Let's see here. Is it? It's Kevin. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay.
So, the Spitfire hit the lake. The thrust vectoring Viggen hit the lake. And Josh's latest version of the P-51 hit the lake on the first flight.
I'm beginning to see a trend here.
Yeah.
That involves a lake and flight test airplanes.
And David.
And David.
Yeah, David built this. He 3D printed a thrust vectoring unit that he got from some guy's design on RC Groups, which I don't have his name. I apologize again. We continue to forget his name, which is terrible.
We're bad at names.
But he's had this thing for a while, and it flies really good, but none of us are really 3D pilots. So he was searching around for somebody to fly it, some kind of more pro pilot. So he found Avery, which is one of the newer members on Team High Tech, excellent pilot. He got used to the plane. They were doing some crazy stuff over on the normal flight line, and David's like, push it, push it. And he kept getting a little bit more used to it. He could hover it and do some crazy snap rolls and stuff and flat spins. And then David's like, oh, look at that sunset. It's gorgeous. And he's like, fly over the water, fly over the water. Push it, do it. So they kept going out, and he was trying to hover it right over the water and kick up some water with the thrust from the thing. And he got some gorgeous shots, but he kept going around. And eventually, he pushed it a little bit too far and dipped the thrust vectoring unit into the water, and it didn't have enough power to get out, and so it went down. And then they had an intimate moment on the rowboat to go get the Viggen. Dave Knopp got some epic footage of them, their silhouette with the sunset in the background, and Avery's rowing the boat. It was pretty funny. David mentioned, he's like, man, I wish we had some wine and some cheese out there.
Some soft music playing.
Yeah. Which that'll all probably be in the recap video.
I sure hope so, because I haven't seen that footage yet.
It's pretty epic. It looks like it's something out of a movie from like the 90s.
I think we could probably find some nice music to put that to.
So yeah, and then the P-51, I think the battery just died, and David was flying low over the and slow over the lake, and he dipped it in the drink. Which actually, it's we recovered it. It's actually still in pretty good shape.
All right. Well,
Who's here? Is that Chris?
That's Chris. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Maybe
I'm feeling we have to activate a fourth.
That's a good idea.
Microphone, because I think Chris Roncaglione's here, so I think we're gonna have an extra person on the podcast.
Cool.
Well, let's see here. I want to talk about the laser fire, but we should probably wait for Josh.
Well, we can start the story.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
here's how the yonder tale begins.
Just a normal day here at Flight Test Headquarters, and we were having a chat by my desk, which is right around the corner. If you saw the FTHQ video thing, you may know where we're talking about, but it's right around the corner from the laser in the shipping room. But we were talking about
Say that we were having a very important meeting.
Yes.
And by having important meeting, I mean we were chit-chatting. And by chit-chatting, I mean we were watching a YouTube video. So, you can take that or leave it, but that's what we were doing. Okay, sorry.
Continue. So, yeah, and David's all of a sudden, he's like wandering over yonder, and he's like, Josh, I think something's on fire. And we all ran over. And the laser has flame. It was definitely on fire. The laser had flames coming out. It was on top of the glass, on top of the hood of the thing. And they were about halfway up to the ceiling. So
Josh, which would be about 6 to 7
I didn't feet. I didn't see it at first, but Josh ran over and his eyes just lit up. He's like, get the fire extinguisher. And we all just started scrambling. And we have fire extinguishers, luckily.
Lots of them.
We had like 7 or 5 or something like that. And we were panic mode, so we had a hard time finding them.
Looks like Looney Tunes, just everybody running around trying to find. Like, we all know what the fire extinguishers are, but like, yeah. Of course, when you're not.
We were running around in circles. Josh was the first one to the scene. He found a fire extinguisher, and he started unloading on it. And meanwhile, David got out his iPhone and started filming while eating ice cream. And actually, in the footage that he captured on his phone, you see him put down the ice cream. If, like 30 seconds into the video, he puts down the ice cream to go find a fire extinguisher, throws the fire extinguisher to me. By the time I get to Josh, the fire is blazing out of control. It was up to the ceiling.
Because it broke through the glass.
It broke through the glass. There was the lasers have like a fan hooked up to them to suck all the fumes out. So it was just like feeding the fire with oxygen. There's also a ventilation fan that was running in the room. So Josh unloaded a whole fire extinguisher on this fire, and it looked like it just doubled in size.
Yeah.
So Josh put down that fire extinguisher, got another one. I was there. We both started unloading on it at the same time. kind of in bricks, we would go in and hold our breath as long as we – because by this time, the whole entire building was full of smoke.
The smoke was black, and it was about – it was filling half the room. So, like, it was pretty bad. Like, you couldn't see – and it was plastic burning.
Yes.
So, like, it was, like, not good on the eyes or on the nose.
It was – yeah. And so we had to go – keep going back and forth to try to get it out. And obviously, the more we extinguished, the more smoke there was. But, yeah, luckily, Josh and I – after I think it took 3.5, maybe 4 fire extinguishers to get this under control.
And it was the last one that we had because we had more fire extinguishers, but they were already
depleted
from more minor incidents. and so I think it was like we literally put it out on the last fire extinguisher.
Yeah, we were extremely lucky and fortunate that nobody got hurt and the whole building didn't burn down, because another 30 seconds. I think that ceiling would have caught on fire. There was stuff on the complete other side of the room, some stuff in plastic bags, and there was actually some planes on the wall. Like, we had all of our models built and on display on the wall, and all of those all the way to the far wall were completely melted and, ruined.
Yeah.
So it was pretty intense.
I'm back.
Oh, Josh is back.
I'm Batman.
We moved on from Seth. We're telling the laser cutter fire story.
So, yeah, I pretty much just told the whole story. So
I just put it out now.
Wait, there's another one?
No. did you tell them about the awesome little device I got for $19 that will prevent it?
No, why don't you go ahead and tell them about
that? Okay, I went to Lowe's, and after the fire, and he's probably humble. He probably didn't talk about how awesome he did.
Is Chris here?
Well,
yeah, Chris is here.
Does he want
to
come?
I told him to come in. He's busy. He may swing in real quick.
Okay, cool.
But he's just passing through.
He's busy.
Yeah. Oh. But, Alex was amazing. He kicked right into action. Before David had the time to put his ice cream down, Alex already had, his fire extinguisher.
Just for the visual for everyone, it's not like a cup of ice cream that David's
it's
eating.
It's a half gallon.
It's a half gallon carton of ice cream that I guess David was having a rough day
It was either a half gallon or 2 quarts, one or the other. It was a lot of ice cream. But you know what? To his credit, it made a great video to commemorate the Great Fire of 2014.
Yeah.
But you know what? It worked out okay.
What? Yeah, we were really lucky.
Yeah, and big props to my wife too. When we went to Seth, she was knocked down to one laser.
Yeah,
and I think even Miss Anna came in for a day.
She came in for 2 days.
So while we were gone,
and then another day after you guys got back.
Yes.
So
the ladies held it together. Long story short,
received your order anytime in the past 2 or 3 weeks, it was because of them.
It was done in a charred room on one laser.
It still kind of smells funny in here from the fire.
Kind of burnt plastic type, good for you.
So you talked about the heat.
Oh, my gosh,
melting
yeah.
off the wall.
Actually, we literally had just kind of brushed over the surface of the store and walked in.
Sorry.
So we didn't get any of the details.
It's like it just happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So fresh. But also, just to update everyone, we have a replacement laser. We're
going to
get the one that burnt fixed. So as far as your orders or anything that's concerned, we're still on top of
it. We're back up to 2 lasers, and I think it's safe to say, especially with opportunities with international distribution, we're planning ahead. We got another one on order. So we're going to have 3 lasers, and the third one
is a monster.
It's a big boy. I don't want to sound like this is nothing. It's just what you guys have blessed us with. We went ahead and had one designed that is 3 times as big. It's 3 of our current lasers put into one huge machine. So effectively, we went from one machine back in January 1, 2013, to now we're going to effectively have 5 machines working. And that's because of you guys. So thank you so much. And we're going to have distribution in the near future, so you don't have to pay the horrible shipping. It's going to be an exciting 2014. Lots of great things happen.
Also partially because of you, because you keep designing more and more planes. And we just literally need more lasers to make all the planes that you make.
It's my challenge in life.
To keep cutting the designs.
I love designing. I never realized how much I had fun designing planes.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, guys, if you ever want to, this is once again off the laser topic, but designing planes is every bit as rewarding as building and flying. So take a whack at it. You're going to love it. And I think we're going to have some episodes in the future on designing planes. There's a great videos now on articles that they've already put on theflighttest.com. But we're going to take our own little spin.
We actually had those episodes in the queue, and then then the weather started getting nice.
Yes.
So that's a great episode to shoot when the weather is really crummy. So that might have to wait till then. But
We did it. We actually have – I have the footage or the content saved. It'll be around the Mustang most likely.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So, that'd be cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So laser fire.
Yeah, it was hot. We had small packs. If anyone's ordered a kit, they know what a small pack is. It's a little polytubing bag of, control horns, firewalls, push rods.
Barbecue skewers.
Barbecue skewers.
Popsicle sticks.
We had a box of them on the upper shelf all the way across the room from the laser.
About 20 feet away.
Yeah, about 20 feet away. 30. And it was on the very top of the shelf. We'll have to take a picture and show it. It was so hot, it physically melted down on top of the wire. It's just like this big gooey thing of plastic that's melted down.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind to think that that heat. And
when we were in there.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the one time I tried to go up towards the lid and you just stuck your hand up in that smoke and it was so hot.
It's yeah.
I mean, it's hard to believe fire is hot, but.
Smoke's hot.
It's crazy.
Smoke's hot too. And we kept getting lower. Do you remember we kept getting lower and lower as the smoke was getting lower? We were getting lower with the fire extinguishers. Two and a half cans? Is that about right?
I think it was 3.5 because you unloaded one.
That's right.
And then I came in and we both unloaded one. And then I think we still squared more.
A little bit more the other one. Yeah. So it was a good job, Alex. You kicked in the gear really quick.
Well, I don't think if we wouldn't have had two extinguishers unloading on it at once, I don't think we would have got it out.
Yeah, because it just kept coming back.
Yeah, if you were spraying the right side of the fire, the left side of the fire was like just blazing. So you needed somebody on both sides of the laser to put it out.
I had a brother in arms in there, and that was you, brother. It was pretty cool. And also, hats off to Chad Capper because he was the one that bought a ton of fire extinguishers when we moved to this location.
Yeah,
and we definitely used every one of them.
And now we have
even more.
We have double that amount. Yeah,
I feel like we have 20 fire extinguishers. Now.
Yes,
and we even have some nice ones that don't make a mess.
Yeah, it's
CO2,
and I think it's some other kind of non-messy one.
It's actually not CO2; it's some other technology. I forget the name of it.
But it's alien technology.
It's alien technology that is brought to us from space. Hopefully, it'll work.
But now we know what not to do too. It's funny because right in front of it says, "In case of fire, hit the off button, lift up lid, and extinguish fire." Well, the second we lifted up the lid is when it got the oxygen, and when it got the oxygen, it got super hot. The top glass fell in, and it was like a fireball.
Yeah,
it was absolutely crazy.
It's kind of like the grill. Like if you close the hood of your grill, like the fire kind of dies down because you starve it of oxygen. Or when you open it, it gets really big.
It fed the beast.
Same thing, only with lasers. Yeah.
We talk about it fondly now because we're back up and running. But it was quite a because
it was for
thing.
A little while. It wasn't really funny because we were pretty close to a big disaster. But
it gave me an ulcer for a while.
Yeah.
Yes, it escalated rather quickly.
Yeah, but the fire department. It was kind of funny. The fire department came like, "What do you guys do here?"
Yeah.
Next thing I know,
Josh was giving a seminar on how to design scratch builds.
Not how to design, how to fly.
Yeah.
I do have a picture of Josh, he's just a true instructor. All these, like, there's like four firefighters gathered around him with like their hands on their hips listening to him. And he's holding a kit and like describing like what it is. So, like,
you know, I figured, he's like, man, we got to buy another laser. I got to start selling some kits. So.
I think you tried to give him some FT flyers and they were walking out the door and the fire chief was like, "You guys can't take those."
policy. Full disclosure, the guys were asking, like, "Can we buy these here?" You know, and I was like, "You know, I got a whole bunch of seconds upstairs. We from one of the open houses, we had some seconds we cut out that we never used." And you know, I was like, "I got some seconds upstairs." I ran up there, and the fire chief was like, "No, this is our job.
You can't take this."
I really wanted to give them. And matter of fact, I have a really great friend named Jason Bryan. He's a fireman. I think Jackson. I may be way off. He's a fireman, long story short, but he builds a lot of his models, but he doesn't buy any of our kits. He does them all scratch built because he said it's wonderful. You know, when there's no fire going on and they have their work done,
nice.
He just sits down and builds kits. And
that's cool.
Got all the time in the world.
And he has time to do it. So,
that's laser fire. Did we mention the laser fire in the Ceph recap?
I don't think we did.
We were going to, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we'll release that footage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, let's make sure that the insurance.
It's really nothing great. David was running around freaking out, so it's all shaky and you can't see anything.
It was about like one fire extinguisher into it because we already had one dumped into it.
It is a little bit anticlimactic because the fire was really twice as bad as it shows.
Yeah,
it was already out by the time he started filming it. Yeah.
Well, guys, let's transition to some questions.
Okay.
We say, and I made that post on Facebook, so I do want to take some questions from that before we get to the voicemails.
Thank you for all the quick posts, guys.
Yeah, let me see how many we're up to here.
5, 6.
We are up to
7.
Is my dad out there?
He is out there. You want to call him in?
No.
We have 46 questions.
I mean, you can't.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
You can if you want.
Wow.
You can if you want.
No. You know, father-son fellowship time is very important.
Well, it's probably his dad has other things to do.
All right.
Which is probably why he's here.
Okay.
We have 46 questions so far.
Wow, that's better than 7.
Yeah, it's better than 7. So the very first question is, when will we see the FT soundtrack? Love the show. Mm-hmm. That's from Hunter Benbow.
When will we see the FT soundtrack?
Yeah. See it?
Well, you'll probably just hear it. Yeah, I don't know. You got some special talents if you've seen the soundtrack. But
hey, Alex, can we get it on the store for like a dollar for a donation?
We've tried to answer this before, and I think it just boils down to putting it in iTunes. But
yeah.
I think the one thing that people probably might misunderstand about the flight test music is that a lot of it is, you know, soundtrack music that complement. I mean, some of them are actual songs. But other, you know, some of it's soundtrack music that complements video, which usually means the music isn't too crazy and kind of repetitive and, you know, might kind of designed for background. But all that's to say is that, yes, maybe.
Maybe so.
Maybe so.
We have been talking about possibly getting, actually, the gentleman who made all of the music for...
Michael Caminiti.
Awesome guy. Which he is an excellent creative guy. And unfortunately, he no longer works with Flight Test, but he's doing lots of other great things. He has a website.
Yeah, he actually works very closely with Josh Scott at the church.
They work together still.
That's when he left Flight Test. He went to the church to work with Josh.
Mm-hmm. And he does lots of other things too. Mm-hmm. He has a freelance career that he works on, and he does film, he does composition, he does all kinds of
stuff.
Amazing
guy.
So we may be working with him again in the future to get some more soundtracks because we're –
Actually, we talked to him about a month ago about it. Yeah. He was like, sure.
Yeah. I think Flight Test ringtones would be cool.
That could be cool.
There you go. All right. Like ESC ringtone. Okay. Next one is, will there ever be a build, tune, fly video for the Batbone?
That's a great point.
I also think you should do that. You're quickly becoming our authority.
I don't know why it hasn't been done yet. It's strange.
Yeah. Or, even just a build. Let alone the two fly. Yeah, we never did a build video on the Batbone, which I'm not sure why. But we are actually just talking about the other day that we need – that we need to do that.
I want to take it up a notch, too. I'm not just, this is how you assemble it, but Alex, I think you pioneered this idea. We should be showing values because KK2 is common. What's the other one? Paul Baxter's?
Multiwee. Yeah. With Multiwee, you can just post a sketch file and then they can download it. It's just an Arduino board and then you load the sketch file on and it's good to go.
I think Paul's working on that, isn't he?
I think so. We sent him some stuff. As long as you use the similar motors, similar setup, you should be able to tune in the exact P&I gains and it'll work.
So, Miles Inkley, the answer to your question is yes. look for that in the next couple months.
Yeah, I think a Batbone version 2 is coming someday down the future, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right. So, the next question is Andrew Manegio. What is the flight simulator that you prefer, Phoenix or Real Flight?
Me? Real Flight.
Real Flight.
Yeah.
I've only used Real Flight because we have that.
Phoenix actually is pretty good.
I guess for helis, it's the best. Really? I've heard people say, you know, the collective feel and everything.
But wasn't Bill Blair saying something about that?
I think Bill Blair and also who was the other gentleman we had that used to fly helis for us a lot? He used all Phoenix. I can't believe
forget his name.
I'm sorry. I forgot your name, brother.
The answer is we use Real Flight 7, but we've heard that
6 and 7. I also like it. I mean, they're all good. They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I use Aerofly at home, too, because it's the only one that works on a Mac, as far as I know, without using, like, Parallels or something like that to run Windows on a Mac. But
which is no fun.
Aerofly works good, and there's also a mobile version I found out about yesterday thanks to Bob Parmalee. It's full scale, but you can fly it. It's a lot like Infinite Flight, which I spend a lot of time flying planes on my iPad.
Sometimes during the podcast.
Yeah, sometimes during the podcast. Marcus asks, will you design a foldable H-quad?
That's funny.
That's kind of... Wait.
Yeah. I guess we'll pass.
There's a fun collaboration between Alex and I. We're going to have some fun in the near future.
Yeah, there's... we have a lot of good things coming in the multi-rotor realm.
So I guess we won't expound too much on that yet, but next question. Next question is from David. Can you come to the Flight Fest if you're from another country? As we are apparently, we need an AMA membership for just 1 week of flying, which isn't ideal.
Oh, wow. Never even
It's a good
about
question.
I don't know how many people are going to come from another country, but if it's not too many, I would just buy them the AMA.
I think
Flight Test should just pick it up for them or let them in for free or something.
Can we get like a visitor's AMA pass or something?
We'll be talking to AMA. I'll see what the logistics
are. Yeah, to answer your question, we don't really know. And also, if you can't tell, I have not previewed these questions in any way. Yeah. So,
well, the one thing, is he under 18? Is it like a son?
Under 18, it's free.
It looks like an over 18.
Oh, okay.
Guy. But yeah, that's a good point. If you're
By the text?
Judging by the how he wrote it.
Sorry. I guess you are on Facebook, so he has a profile picture.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. Well, so we don't know, but we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Flightfest.com. Next question is from Andrew. Let's see here. I'm not sure what that means, so I'm going to skip it.
Just people outside talking.
Very loud. Yeah, very, very loud. Okay, next question is from Hashim. How do you transport your large size planes?
You don't want to know. We push until it gets inside the car.
In a pile.
Somebody pushes, somebody pulls.
Yeah, what you do is you
pull. Well, actually, we just bought a trailer.
Yeah.
We're finally going to try to be responsible.
And then we got a trailer. I'm gonna get some bungee material.
Speaking of responsible, you had a little incident with the trailer the other day. The
trailer's fine. The bumper
it's not funny.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's not quite funny yet.
Maybe I was taking the trailer home because I am yet to get the chance to lock it up and wheel locks and everything, and I didn't want to leave it out here to just be towed away. So I was taking it home, and we had a little bit of ice, and it didn't fully latch onto my tailgate, but luckily I had the safety chains on.
Yeah.
And it unpinned from my tailgate and proceeded to smash the tar out of the back of my truck. So it wasn't that bad. It was just mostly on the bumper, but it pulled it around pretty good until we got it stopped.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay.
Well, thank you. Truck's not, though.
That sounds a little bit too eventful for my taste.
Yeah. I don't like drama.
Next question is from Emery. Can you make a flying saucer?
As long as we can call it a nutball.
Maybe we'll do an interesting little project like that or something.
Cool. I want to do a flying jellyfish.
Yeah.
We talked about doing an episode around a Captain America shield.
Yes.
Which I feel like whatever we figured out that would make that fly, we could apply to a flying saucer.
I think you're right.
But, so we'll see. And the question from Chris is, will you guys ever do gas planes in the show again, like the old Roadrunner and the 3D planes?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
Shortest answer of the day.
Especially with all the new gas stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm dying to build. I used to love Senior Telemasters, and I want to get my hands on a 12-footer, but I don't want to put – I know they have all the electric setups on their Telemasters now. I want a gas, a gas setup, and with the fuel injection I think you're alluding to and everything, and also the smoke system and the amount of candy that thing will drop.
Just makes your mouth water.
It's, the Kraken wishes it could hold that much. I think you could put like 10 pounds of candy in the thing.
Probably.
So that's like raining cavities.
Next question from Peter is, he said, I quote, the usual about the shipping.
That's not funny.
Yeah, that's not funny. We already talked about that earlier in the podcast. So the answer to your question is it is coming, and we're not just saying that. We are actively working on things. One of the first is getting shipping very reasonable in Canada, so getting distribution up there. And I did get, comments and questions from people, what about Germany? What about the UK? That sort of thing. And, the answer is all good time. We're getting there.
Yeah. Every one of those is being addressed.
Yep. Okay. Next question is, from Steve. Everyone in the hobby has their mind pointed towards the future. For an example, I have been preparing to do FPV for 2 years. What is something that you aspire to do or something that you are looking to do this year in RC? It can be a build or an accomplishment or maybe a new equipment you're going to try. This question can be for everyone. Thanks.
Josh?
Wow. What's new things we want to strive towards?
Yeah, what do you want to try?
All right.
What's something that you've never tried but you're thinking about trying?
Wow. That's pretty crazy. I would love to honestly start trying to push into heavier gas planes. I always flew like the Stabrays and the Aroncas and everything, but I would love to start flying and experiencing some big warbirds, but also some 103-inch, planes, big balsas. Besides that, I have a fascination with flying over water. Actually, I should say a fear, and I want to conquer that. So, maybe some soaring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to slope soar and also experiment more with long range.
Yeah.
FPV, because I'm still pretty new to the FPV thing.
Kind of excited because this whole year meetup, going down to immersion.
Oh, yeah.
The episodes we're going to shoot are all around long range. Yeah. So this is a blessing to us big time.
It's going to be awesome.
But also full scale. My dad and I built full scale and flew full scale, but I'm looking forward to reopening that chapter with my children.
Nice. Yeah, I've been flying planes and been Alex gave me his Nano QX and about 1,000 batteries. And so actually, the whole bag of batteries you gave me, I rotated through every single one of those batteries.
Really? That's a lot. So, that's a minor fire hazard, so I would like put that in a LiPo bag or something.
Or my book bag, which is kind of the same thing.
It's like tiny little explosive chiclets.
So anyway, I've been having a lot of fun with that, just kind of learning to fly and everything. But I really like FPV. I've flown just a little bit of FPV and really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, so. You flew the Blunt-Nosed Versa.
Yeah, I did.
Good job, man. Blunt-Nosed
Versa, and yeah, a lot of help, but it was fun. Okay, next question is from Yanni. Are you guys going to be at Joe Nall for the entire event or only just a couple days? I'm going to go fairly early, and I just would love to come say hi.
I believe we're going to be arriving Wednesday afternoon. Tuesday, we're pulling shocks Tuesday, the 13th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to drive through the night, sleep just a little bit, then get the rest of there on Wednesday, and then we'll be there the rest of the time. So I'm going to hope I get the honor of meeting you.
So Wednesday on. Hopefully we'll see you.
Bringing the family down, though. I'm bringing my bride and my two kids.
There you go.
Are you bringing Alex the lizard?
No. No.
That's, so you're going to be taken care of? You're not neglecting Alex.
No.
You gotta take care of Alex.
We're gonna make sure someone properly, you know, pets Alex and plays with him once a day.
Bathes him.
Yeah. Listen to the previous podcast.
If none of this is making any sense, listen to episode 21.
My kids love Alex Savada so much that my oldest son Noah named his bearded dragon Alex, and if Michael gets one, he's gonna name it Lindsay.
So,
All right, moving on. I wish we could bring Max.
Oh, also, going back to that other question, I want to get more into mini racing quads.
I think
if you didn't already know,
you could honestly, Alex, the way you're flying and your talent for that, you shut us all down, including the Swede. I don't think he could even keep up with you.
Well, so, it's not me. That's that little quad. Yeah. It's just so fast.
I look forward to seeing what happens with different frames, whether you know you can do the same thing or not.
Yeah.
But also, you have a couple designs you want to work on. I look forward to seeing what you bring. But quad racing is something that's special.
It's a blast.
It is a blast, going through the trees the way you did and everything. Yeah.
Mateo asks, what is the difference between flying in a park and flying in a club? Is it better to be part of a club or the AMA?
Club or the AMA?
Is that me?
He's from Argentina, so he may not.
Oh, Mateo Bergero.
Yes, that's him. Something like that. Bruger, something.
That's Flight Test Argentina, I think, is what he calls this group.
Oh, okay. So he's probably not an AMA member, which is why he's asking.
No, yeah. I would honestly say if your plane is small and can be flown in a park safely, and stress the word safely, don't put up a plane if you've never known how to fly. You know, don't just pop a plane up in the air and then put other people at risk. I honestly, and this I owe an apology for, in the past I bashed a lot of clubs, but nowadays it seems like there's a paradigm shift.
I think a lot of it, what it is, there's so many clubs out there, there's a lot of different ones.
Yeah.
There's a lot more traditional clubs where it's mostly gassers and traditional RC flying.
And a lot of bureaucracy.
Some of them have a lot of bureaucracy. Some of them have a lot more rules than others.
Yeah.
But some, like, for example, Pecan Patch,
they
are a heavily FPV club.
Yeah.
Whereas Black Sheep RC Club,
yeah,
they had never even heard of FPV. So I think there's a pretty wide spectrum of different kinds of clubs out there. So I think it's just worth going and checking out your local clubs and seeing if it's something that you would enjoy.
Stop by, see how they treat you. If they treat you well, you know, definitely gravitate towards them, because there's something priceless about having someone that's been through it help you get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're getting negative experiences there, sadly, you're better maybe unpinning or trying to find a buddy and then go into a park and burn batteries. But please do it safely.
The internet, RC groups, our forum, our articles. It's kind of like an online flying club.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't fly directly with people, but you can share experiences and tips and tricks and all that good stuff on the internet. So
yeah. Once you know how to do it, please help another person.
Well, also something that we need to be more aware of, and I think that we're getting more conscious of, is last month there was 70,000 downloads of this podcast, and we kind of used to think of the podcast as just kind of small little thing that just a couple people listened to, when in reality very quickly it became not that.
And
that's thanks to everyone listening, but that just means that we need to be better about clarifying that this was our experience of something.
Yes,
it's not that necessarily all clubs are bad or or, you know, not necessarily that this particular plane is bad or that we have a, you know, it's an opinion and, mm-hmm. and it's our experience of something.
Yeah. So. Yeah. For example, I think we mentioned some stuff about hobby shops, how we've had bad experience mm-hmm. at traditional hobby shops. And then we met a guy like Gary up in Canada and yeah. just talking to him and then also seeing photos and videos of his storefronts and, yeah. and seeing the way that they deal yeah. with their customers. It's basically based on our experience with what we yeah. have around us. So yeah, we don't have very many good hobby shops in our area. It doesn't mean that they're all bad though.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's definitely different where it is, but we'll definitely still share our opinion strongly. Yeah. But just know that there are opinions and not necessarily going to be consistent with your experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? After going to see those wonderful old fellows at Black Sheep RC Club.
Yeah.
You would have looked at them and thought for a moment, you know, they're going to run us out of here. We're totally different. And they were just awesome.
Yeah, they were real nice.
And the more experiences that we have, the greater the perspective that we'll have.
Yes.
But, you know, for now, all we have is the perspective we currently have.
I want to drop in on more flying clubs. Honestly, I think that was really cool. Just last mm-hmm. minute drop-ins like that to see yep. how they treat you and the experience. I think it's cool.
Yeah, let us know if that's something you'd like to see, mm-hmm. Flying club drop-ins.
Yeah.
We don't know how feasible it is right off the bat, but maybe eventually we can make that a thing.
I think it'd be really cool.
It would be fun.
All right, next question. James says, when is Flight Test going to come out with their own power systems? Maybe motor, ESC combos, servos. It'd be nice to buy everything from you guys and all in one shot. Thanks.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I'm going to try to explain this the best I can without sounding weird. we want to that's a good way to preface it.
That's a good point,
We want to compliment, not compete, and one of the ways we see that is by making the airframes, but then finding local, you know, places like Altitude Hobbies, Grayson Hobbies, Laser Toys, to partner with for electronics. Now, we want to still make sure that the level of service is up to par and that you guys are getting the very best service. So it may mean that we partner with someone and if the service is bad, you know, we'd stop partnering with them. But we don't want to come out with motor lines and ESC lines when we can really partner with them and complement mm-hmm. them.
There's plenty of electronics out there.
Yeah.
More than enough.
Yeah. So just finding those groups and also, you know, all it takes is a better version of that motor to make it obsolete.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to get in that game where we're selling you subpar stuff when you can always get the best stuff.
Yeah, so we wouldn't be able to compete anyways, you know,
yeah.
not right off the bat anyways. Yeah. It would end up costing you guys more to yeah. buy electronics from us.
Yeah.
Where people who specifically just sell electronics, get them at a cheaper cost and it can give you a better price.
And they
them.
Invest a tremendous amount of money, you know, to make mm-hmm. that happen. And the last thing we want to do is use the platform that you guys have blessed us with as a way to unfairly compete with them.
Yeah.
And if we can take, you know, great companies like Altitude or Ready Made or something like that, put our product in with it, and then help them grow, it's growing the hobby as compared to us trying to compete with it and dominate the hobby.
Yes.
We don't want to get the market share of that part. We want to get the market share of getting people in the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, if you're a RC business owner and you have, you know, motors or ESCs, you think that would complement our products well,
yeah.
Shoot us an email.
Yeah, because the sad thing is say as we get more and more people providing, if the service is lacking, we're going to pull the product from, you know, from them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to endorse them.
Yep. And you can support at flighttest.com. You can shoot us an email if you are interested in working with us.
Yeah. All right. That was a long, drawn-out answer.
That's okay. It was very thorough.
Thanks.
Taylor asks, how does the challenge FPV on a budget sound? You could have a contest to see who can build the cheapest all-inclusive FPV system for a plane, copter, transmitter, video gear, etc.
I thought you were going to say FPV on a bike.
FPV bicycle.
That would be really dangerous.
That sounds awful. But FPV on a budget does sound interesting.
Yeah. Well, there is the we did the episode with Ready Made.
Yeah, Ready Made.
Mm-hmm. I think that's called FPV Kit. Or what's that episode called?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It wasn't the cheapest. You can definitely get cheaper, but by golly,
it was really good. It worked really well.
And it was, you buy that and you're not going to be, you know,
it was slightly less expensive than buying like a pair of Fat Sharks.
Was it?
I think so. I think it was like $300.
$300. That's pretty good because the receiver, you know, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That episode's called RC FPV Kit, and yeah, we featured a kit that ready-made put together that was basically, it's not the cheapest kit, but it's a beginner kit, yeah. And there's a difference.
And you know it's going to work, no soldering.
It's quality. Yeah,
a beginner kit, basically, you don't want to replace everything in the kit. So some of the stuff is actually very, very high quality. Mm-hmm. Some of it could potentially upgrade in the future. So.
And some of it's additional. You know, I mean, when you get your goggles, you plug it in, and that way you still have a monitor and goggles.
Yep, definitely. Okay, well, let's see here. We are at we're over an hour. So,
okay.
We didn't get to any voicemails today, but I think that's okay.
I'm sorry, guys. I rambled on because of 5 minutes.
No, that's quite all right. And actually, it's how we started the podcast was just taking questions from Facebook. So actually, it was kind of cool to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the voicemail questions that I listened to beforehand was a suggestion that we should get a flight test Facebook fan page, which we already have.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't think we do a very good job of promoting that. But I think that obviously a lot of people have found it. We have about 30,000 followers there. But
I think we should make a flight test viewer fan page, and I want to be part of it.
There you go. But anyway, I think that felt good. You guys feel good?
I feel good.
Actually, speaking of voicemails, there was a guy who emailed me today. His name's Daniel. And he's like, why won't you play my voicemail on the show? He's like, all I want to know is what kind of goggles you use.
Aww.
So, Daniel, we use Fat Shark Attitude SDs normally.
Yes.
Boom.
That's the one we like the most. But, yeah, we have a huge backlog of voicemails. Yeah.
Do you think we just do a lightning round where one of these podcasts, we talk for 5 minutes and then the rest of it's
is just questions?
Catch up?
We might need to do that to catch up sometime.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you have submitted a voicemail a while ago, like maybe a month ago, something like that, typically it only takes about a month to catch up. But honestly, it could have been something as simple as your audio quality wasn't good enough to understand.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sometimes I listen to voicemails and I just can't hear what you're saying. And so we obviously can't play on the show because there's no way to answer your question.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you had a question that didn't get answered, resubmit it. That's speakpipe.com/flighttest. And I check that every day. So please leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the show.
All right.
All right, guys.
Sounds good. Hey, it's actually we're recording this on Good Friday. I hope everyone has a happy Easter or had a happy Easter.
Yes.
That's true. Happy Easter, everyone. And if you're listening this far into the future and it's not anywhere near Easter,
I shouldn't have pinned it to a day.
Have a day.
Then just have a good day.
Have a great day.
See you, everyone.
See you, guys.
See you.